Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. This is a special Sunday. It doesn't matter how we come together, you know, Facebook or Zoom or outdoor or in the building. When I look at the gospel in the midst of oppressive Roman occupation, burdensome census, in the midst of legalism and poverty, Jesus was born. And in the midst of the shaking that's going on in our life, we're, you know, of course, in a worldwide pandemic. What Christmas says to us is that God reaches out to us. Christmas focuses not what we can do for God, but emphasis is on what God did for us. That name Emmanuel, you know, God is with us. Catalyst, can we proclaim that together? 1, 2, 3, God is with us. The sermon title is Our Plan, comma, and God's Purpose. The passage is not a normal Christmas passage, but it is a Christmas message. Proverbs 19, verse 21. It says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Right? You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. This sermon, you know, this week, I was just listening to different sermons on Christmas. And one particular message inspired me. And so this message is inspired by Craig Groeschel from Life Church. You know, when I think about 2020, there were many things before 2020, then the end of, you know, 2019. There was many things I was planning for 2020. There were many things. But 2020 turned out to be a year of facing things that I didn't plan. A lot of things that I did not plan. You know, there are graduates didn't plan that their graduation ceremony will be through Zoom. In the beginning of the year, you didn't think that you were going to lose your job. You didn't plan a medical battle at this point in your life. You weren't expecting this great shaking, the spiritual battle, the conflict. You didn't plan to be isolated or separated. You didn't plan to lose someone that you love so much. You didn't plan that 2020 was going to be so difficult. When I think about Christmas, Mary and Joseph had their plans shattered. In Matthew 1, Mary and Joseph were planning their life together. You know, they both love God. It would probably seem like they were perfect for one another. They were young, in love, and excited about their future together. They probably had their wedding all planned out. They invited all their family, relatives, friends, and all the townspeople. There was going to be a week of celebration, dancing and drinking. Everyone was going to be happy. The whole town was going to have a good time. Everyone was going to congratulate the couple. It was going to be the happiest memory of their life. Then their plans changed. Mary had a powerful and supernatural encounter with God, and the angel tells her, you will conceive and give birth to a son of God by the Holy Spirit. And Mary's response was, may your word to me be fulfilled. What Mary was saying was, I love God, I love you with all my heart, and I will do whatever you want me to do. Mary was saying yes to what God asked. And then what happens? Well, I believe she was excited and she went to Joseph and she tells Joseph what happened. And the Bible says in Matthew 1:18, Joseph did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. I could read a lot of things into that verse. For Joseph, it was too much. He assumed it was betrayal. He was devastated, crushed, probably felt humiliated. He was heartbroken. He was angry. And at that point, you know, the best he could do was to divorce Mary quietly. For Mary, maybe she thought because she said yes to God, that it will be smooth sailing. You know, people will see what she sees. God was going to make everything work out. But when she told Joseph, Joseph didn't see it the way she saw it. Everything changed. Mary's life is totally over. She's going to be divorced, single mom, in a culture where she will be completely rejected. She would have to deal with gossip and whispers all her life. You know, some of you, this was the year that you were going to get ahead financially, and things fell through. Some of you took a job. It was for the family. It was a better job. And you were one of the casualties of this pandemic. You didn't plan on getting sick. You didn't plan on needing a surgery. You didn't plan on losing a family member. You didn't plan on battling depression. You didn't plan on this great shaking, this intense spiritual battle, this deep loneliness. You know, Craig Rochelle says this. This is what I got from him. You don't have to understand the plan to trust God has a purpose. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to understand the plan to trust God has a purpose, to trust that God has a purpose. You know, Proverbs 19:21, it says, even though we have many plans in our heart, and it was a good plan, it was, you know, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Even if our plans did not happen, even though we're going the opposite way of our plans, we can trust that God's purpose is greater. There's a purpose in the middle of my pain. God says to us in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For Mary and Joseph, their plans changed. Everything that they fear, everything they didn't want to happen. Mary said yes to God and believed, we believe saying yes to God means what? That, you know, I believe this was Mary's thought. The baby, the birth of baby Jesus would be peaceful. Should have been easy. There should have been no pain. Everyone should understand. Everyone should be supportive. But if you read the Bible, when Mary was in labor, she was on the back of a donkey, homeless. Mary delivered baby Jesus in a dirty room where the animals were kept. There's a birth, but what happens after the birth? You know, what usually happened, you know, in Catalyst, when there's a birth, the plan, you know, the mother should rest, the family should recover, build relationship with the family and relative, get used to the new baby. Learn how to be a parent to a new baby. But not for Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus. There's a warning. They get this warning. King Herod, the most powerful person in the land, wants to kill their son. So what happens next? They had to flee to Egypt. The journey was dangerous and difficult with a newborn baby. They were in a foreign land where they didn't know anyone. No friends, no family, no relative. They didn't speak the language. It was a pagan land. They were all alone. Mary and Joseph's plans were shattered, but God had a purpose. God had a purpose. Matthew 1, verse 21 says this: "She will give birth to a son, and you're going to give him the name Jesus." Why? This is the purpose. Because he will save his people from their sins. Because he will save his people from their sins. See, the cost of sin is eternal punishment, broken relationship, broken heart, broken, live in a broken world with broken people, broken mind, broken emotion, broken body. Because of sin, there's sickness, spiritual attack, division, and ultimately death. And because sin is so great, no human being could pay for their sin, let alone another person's sin. The best we could do, we try to close the gap between sinful human being and a holy God with our own effort. We set up religion. We set up many rituals and many rules. We cover our sin with fig leaves, with good works, with church attendance and religious activity. We cover it up with degrees, money, and material thing. Now we could cover it up with filters and Photoshop. The cost of sin is too much. No amount of degree or education, no matter how smart or how capable, no human being can work enough, pay enough, or be good enough. No human king's life would be enough. All the money in the world would not be enough. God had to pay the price. God had to pay the penalty for sin. For God so loved the world, the Bible says, he gave his son, Jesus, to die for us. Only God's life would be enough to pay for the sin, our sin, the sin of the world. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, this is the Christmas message. The Word became flesh. The Word, is Jesus saying, Jesus became flesh. Jesus became a human being. What does that mean? Jesus humbled himself. Jesus became vulnerable. Jesus became killable. Jesus became flesh. Jesus took our sin. Jesus sacrificed, took our pain, took our punishment. He became flesh so that he can pay the price for our sin, so that he can close the gap between Father God and us, so that we can have a new life, so that we can have eternal life. In the Old Testament, God shows his glory through, smoking mountains or consuming fire. In the New Testament, the Christmas message is that Jesus became a baby. Christmas is where God shows that he found a way of relating to us human beings that did not involve fear. Christmas says Christ came in humility. Christmas says Christ reach out to us. When the emphasis is on fear, the emphasis is on what we can do for God. But when we understand Christmas, the emphasis is on what God did for us. There's a parable in the gospel, the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee brag about what he did. I fast twice a week and I give 10th of all I get. But the tax collector, he saw the inability, his own inability, and he cried out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Pharisee was not justified because he looked at what he did. The tax collector was justified before God because he saw he couldn't fill that gap between his sin and God's holiness. This was the reason he cried out for mercy. Christ's birth and death on the cross is the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God for each one of us. Mary said yes to God, and all her plans were shattered. But God had a purpose. 33 years later, her plan was shattered again. She was looking at her son hanging on the cross. Mary was probably thinking, as a mom who loves her son, this is not what I thought. During this Christmas, let's be the tax collector. Christ's birth and death is God's mercy. Let us come before the Lord on Christmas. I know, we have all this different idea what we should do for Christmas. But if we truly know what Jesus did for us, what I want us to do is cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You come before the Lord in a personal way. It's between you and God. Let's fulfill God's purpose for our life. It's not by going, why, take this away, God, stop this. But the purpose of God will be fulfilled as a church, as a family, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, by coming to the Lord and crying out, have mercy on me, a sinner. I want to give you a moment to connect with the Lord, and you just talk to him right now. Talk to him. Cry out to the Lord for his mercy. And when we do that, his purpose will be fulfilled in us. The Bible says the tax collector walked away justified. And that was immediate. We don't have to wait for it. Yeah. God says to us, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and he will give us rest. Holy Spirit, just wash us as a church of all the burden, all the stress and anxiety, all the bitterness. Wash our sin away. Cleanse us, Lord. All the disillusionment, all the baggage that we're carrying, wash it away. Renew us, Lord, for the new year that's coming. Okay, can you, Chia and Sue, can you lead us? Let's join our hearts together and worship together, right? And then we're going to close this Christmas service.